It's Monday, the 12th of August, and this is the Monocle Minute. Here are the stories we're following today. As another weekend of protests grips Hong Kong, we'll ask our bureau chief if it's still safe to travel to the city.
There are these protests that are going on, and you could expect some delays, given that they are now targeting the airport.
Plus, the United States considers taking troops out of Germany. And can the rise of virtual retail ever replicate the experience of simply walking into a shop? I'm Ben Rylan in London. The Monocle Minute starts now. Another wave of protests gripped Hong Kong at the weekend, beginning with a rally at the city's airport. Both the United States and Australia have issued travel warnings, urging people to exercise increased caution. Monocle's Hong Kong bureau chief James Chambers joins me now. James, what would your advice be for anyone considering travelling to Hong Kong at the moment?
Well, at the moment, it's typhoon season in Hong Kong, and this is usually low season. So if you're looking for a cheap deal, it's normally a good time to go. And also, the protests have certainly added to that. The fact that the US and Australia have flagged it as a city of concern will make people a bit nervous. But actually, there's no need to worry if you are planning to go to Hong Kong for business or for leisure. It's still a very safe city. The government has put out a response to the US and the Australian travel warnings, you know, saying that just reinforcing that fact that Hong Kong is a very, very safe place to visit. There are these protests that are going on, and you could expect some delays, given that they are now targeting the airport, because that's seen as a very good way of getting the government's attention. But you know, I was in London last week, and during that time, there was a potential strike. British Airways had a massive computer glitch, which caused all kinds of problems. And there were certain incidents on the street which raised a lot of safety concerns. So it's not like Hong Kong is any different from other cities around the world.
Now, there's been a lot of concern over what impact the protests might have on Hong Kong's economy. But of course, denting the economy is exactly how the protesters are aiming to ensure that they're heard, isn't it?
The one big thing about these protests is that most of the business community has got behind these protesters. Nobody has wanted this extradition bill. And you've seen a lot of support so far for these protests. And some businesses have shown some kind of savvy ways of actually making some money off the back of it. But the question is, how long will businesses continue to support these protests if they have to keep shutting their doors and closing early? A lot of the businesses at the moment certainly want to curry favour with the protesters. They don't want to get on the wrong side of them. But you know, the question is, how long will that last? At the moment, business is very much behind it. It's important to get the government's attention for the protests to have some kind of impact on business in Hong Kong, because at the end of the day, that's what Hong Kong is.
James Chambers, thank you. Now to Germany, where an ongoing row with the United States over defence spending is resulting in threats to move American soldiers out of the country.
In saying that NATO members must finally contribute their fair share and meet their
Washington is threatening to move 35,000 soldiers currently stationed in Germany elsewhere. The diplomatic spat comes after Berlin refused last month to commit naval forces to a US-led mission off the coast of Iran or troops on the ground in Syria. Plus, it spends 1.36% GDP on defense, which, to Donald Trump's annoyance, doesn't meet the 2% suggested by NATO. Let Germany defend itself, says the commander-in-chief. There is a willing recipient of the troops located to the east. Poland has long lobbied for a greater US presence within its borders to repel Russian bullying.
Welcome to the very first edition of the Monocle Minute. 10 minutes of news, views and clever comment delivered daily at 6 a.m. London time. Monocle's editor Andrew Tuck is here with me. Andrew, tell us about the idea behind the Monocle Minute.
Well, Ben, as you know, we've never done Twitter as a brand, for example. We're not out there on social media, but many media brands have tried to use those platforms as a way of staying engaged every single day and bringing up-to-date ideas to their audiences. we haven't wanted to be in that space, but we wanted to create something that was direct and owned by us and that we could control in a more interesting way. Now, the great thing about an email bulletin, which is how the Monocle Minute started, is that you sign up for it. We have an agreed relationship. We're not bombarding you with something. And then it pops into your email box in the morning. You open it up and you can read it when you want. It's not just a few characters. It's a few sentences long for each story. But it's a digest of the news as Monocle sees it. Now, the great thing about Monocle is we have bureau around the world. We have 35 correspondents. And the news that we gather with our small news organisation, but a lean and one that has an appetite for fresh stories, is that we get information and ideas and reporting that other people don't get. So every morning when you open up that bulletin, there is a pithy comment from one of our editors or one of our bureau chiefs, followed by four short stories told succinctly with a little bit of attitude, with a little bit of opinion. And you close the email with a sense that you've learned something, you've got a fresh perspective, and you're not just following the old agenda of your national news, and you're not just following the international pack of journalists who seem to always be reporting on exactly the same stories. We don't go off into tangents that aren't important. We're following important stories, but they're just different stories to what other people are reporting.
Andrew, it is an interesting time to be in this business. Of course, Monocle has been in the radio and podcast business for nearly 10 years now. In that time, we have seen quite a few other outlets jump into the audio world as well. What do you think it is that will set this program apart?
Well, you're doing a really interesting thing, Ben. You're picking up the reporting that we're doing for the Monocle Minute in print or in your inbox, and you're pushing it further. You're bringing in a world of audio into those stories, and you're also adding some other stories which are in the tone of the Monocle Minute, that snappy, opinionated global tone, and you're bringing them into the mix. So I think when people listen to this in the morning, they're going to get a really unique briefing on the world. They're going to be excited to hear it. I think it's going to be fresh and diverse. And I think the other thing is, you know, that yes, lots of people have tried to move into the space that we sit in. We're a proper newspaper, really. We cover everything. We cover news, we cover business, we cover fashion, we cover design. And there are sectors that we know very well, hospitality, aviation, urbanism. And those things are going to come to life in the audio Monocle Minute. And I, for one, I'm really looking forward to hearing it every day. It's another step on our adventure. And I think one that our audience and our readers are going to love.
Andrew Tuck, thank you. Finally today, Monocle's fashion editor Jamie Waters looks at efforts to replicate the bricks and mortar shopping experience online.
Last week, I went shopping on my laptop. But I wasn't presented with the usual neat rows of clothes shot against a white backdrop. Instead, I toured a yoga studio, scrolling about a room filled with women stretching and dressed in new season workout gear, before heading to a Manhattan apartment where my cursor hovered over round velvet cushions and bronze floor lamps. Feeling claustrophobic, I then headed for the mountains, where models stood by a dirt track in the latest hiking apparel. So what was I doing? Browsing the new e-commerce website by Obsess, a startup specializing in virtual reality e-commerce. It was founded in 2017, but has mostly focused on B2B services, setting up websites for brands including Tommy Hilfiger and Levi's. Now it's doing its own thing. The company is backed by investors including Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, and its founder, Neha Singh, wants to propel e-retail forwards. She's been quoted as saying, "Nobody has tackled changes to the e-commerce experience in 25 years. She wants to make it fun." The use of virtual reality technology in e-commerce is an interesting proposition. But I tend to think that e-commerce and physical retail work best when each one emphasizes its unique attributes. For e-commerce, convenience and speed, and for physical retail, engaging experiences. Obsess is striving to turn online shopping from a quick purchase into an experience. It's stepping into bricks and mortar territory. Do I want an experience on my laptop though? I'm not convinced. For Monocle, I'm Jamie Waters.
That's all in today's program. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. I'm Ben Rylan. The Monocle Minute will be back with the story setting our agenda tomorrow morning.